This is Karen Lyle of Sales Sport Talk, and I'm here at the Union League of Philadelphia with executive chef Brian Newsom, who is of the Riverside Yacht Club. And we just met here at the club and found out that we are both very connected to boating. And so we're talking a little bit about something very dear to my heart, which is food. Brian, thank you so much for coming on our show.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us a little bit about your club and where it's located and what kind of boating you have that goes on there.
My club is Riverside Yacht Club, located on the Miamis River that leads into the Long Island Sound. Been in existence since 1889. We host multiple boating events. The Vespers, Frostbiting, which is going on right now in this cold weather. Multiple races throughout the year. Multiple events. It's a yacht club.
And this Frostbiting, the little tiny boats that people are on their knees with a sail, how many people come out for that?
A lot of people come out for that. You'd be surprised. I'm surprised every time I see them. Like, they come out in droves and they put on their outfits and their life jackets, and they're excited about it. That's what get me. Normally, we'll send out a tub of hot soup with them.
Excellent. Tell us a little bit about your menu and what you serve.
Our menu, well, right now I'm working on the new menu for the new season to come in, but I serve, it's a yacht club, so they love their fish dishes, swordfish in particular. They love swordfish. Swordfish, halibut, and I'm going to bring some salmon dishes in there. A few steak dishes, and a duck. They like duck. One duck dish in particular, sliced duck breast with sautéed spinach and a Yukon Gold apple cake topped with Grand Marnier sauce.
That sounds amazing. Tell us about what the signature drink is.
All right, the signature drink is called Southside. Myers rum, simple syrup, lemon juice, and mint.
So right now they're renovating your kitchen. When do they expect to have the new kitchen?
The new kitchen should be ready by April 1st. They're extending it to give me a banquet area, because in the past, everything came from one area, came from the a la carte area. So by expanding it, banquets be able to operate without interfering with a la carte service. It'll be a great, everybody got room to spread their wings in the kitchen.
Some of the events, you have 500-600 people. Tell us where you entertain those people and how you handle the kitchen staff for such a large group.
Yeah, that event is called the Children for Fallen Patriots. It's a fundraiser, obviously, and we serve it. It's on our south deck, our south lawn, which you place a tent up. Food will be served from the main kitchen and the annex kitchen that's built in back, so it can be served from both ends.
Thank you so much for being willing to talk on Salesport Talk today.
Thank you for having me.
This is Karen Lyle of Salesport Talk.
The dulcet tones of Christopher Cross at 9:40 on a Tuesday here in San Francisco can only mean one thing on Sports Byline USA. It is time to talk with Karen Lyle from SalesportsTalk.com, who co-hosts this segment with me every week. Karen, I understand you're on the East Coast. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I was just driving down the Atlantic City Expressway across New Jersey and so pulled over on the side because I do not want to miss talking to you and our guest today, Trevor Steele.
By the way, Tom's River, I think, was the last White Castle I went to that when I was going to Atlantic City, and not that good. All right, let's bring in our guest, a U.S. sailing instructor and author. It is Captain Trevor Steele. And first of all, that sounds like a Marvel character. Great name.
Yes, I've heard that before.
Now, from where do you hail, Captain?
Well, initially in Australia. I was born in Australia, grew up there most of my time. And I moved over to the U.S. here about 30 years ago.
So were you Sydney, Melbourne, Perth?
Sydney. Very much Sydney.
Yes. Botany Bay, as it were, right?
Well, no, Botany Bay is not Sydney. Botany Bay is south of Sydney.
Well, let's get into
You're going to get called on that, Rick.
I did get called on it. I never had the pleasure of going down under yet. U.S. sailing instructor. How did that all come together that now you're here with us?
Well, it was a rather unintentional path, in fact. When I first got into sailing, my goal was simply to sail boats, just learn how to sail. And when I moved to San Francisco, which was now a little over 22 years ago, I think, San Francisco became just this fascination. It was a destination. Everybody wants to sail in San Francisco. And it was just by chance. I was reading through some local sailing magazines. They were advertising for sailing instructors. And I put my name forward. And fortunately, I was taken on board. I was put through the training programs that they do for U.S. sailing instructors. Got myself a job and found that I was one of those lucky people that could make a living doing what I loved the most, which was sailing.
Wow. By the way, sorry to interrupt, Karen. In my own defense, Botany Bay is where the Sydney Airport is, so I'm close. All right, go ahead, Karen.
You're right. Yes, you're right. It is.
Okay, go ahead, Karen.
Oh, I just so enjoy it when someone just gets you just a little bit wrecked.
Oh, yeah.
Trevor, was it OCSC that you started working for, or was that later?
No, that was OCSC. That's where it began. That's where I joined U.S. Sailing and got my instructor certifications through OCSC. I'd already had my sailing master's license, but the chance to use that at OCSC was really, really quite a goal for me. OCSC, in many ways, was the Ivy League of sailing schools, and so to be able to work there became quite a feather in my cap.
And that stands for what?
OCSC used to be Olympic Circle Sailing School, but then later was called OCSC, and it closed during the pandemic in 2020.
Okay.
But Trevor, you worked there for up until the time it closed, and I have a question about your sailing experience, because you've spent quite a bit of time on the water and done some journeys. What was one of the most interesting journeys that you've taken?
Well, I'll tell you quite honestly, sailing in San Francisco Bay and on the Pacific coast of California is one of the most interesting journeys you can do. And that's not trying to sell out or sell the local scene. It is a fascinating and interesting and challenging place to sail. You know, obviously, I've sailed off the coast of Australia, I've sailed in the Caribbean, and I've sailed over in Europe and the Med. But the coast of California is a challenging place to sail. And that makes it one of the most interesting sailing destinations I've ever had.
A couple more questions here for Captain Trevor Steele. What does the captain represent? Is that just the general term, or were you in the Australian Navy or something?
No, captain is a generalized term. Within the Navy worldwide, there is a rank of captain. Mm-hmm. However, if you've been put in charge of a vessel, mm-hmm. you are nominated as the captain, even if you don't hold the rank of captain. And so when you get your Coast Guard license to be in charge of a vessel, that qualifies you to be the captain. And you become the captain when you step aboard the vessel, and if you are the senior person responsible for the vessel. So it's two things. It's one, it's a job, and also it's a title and a rank within the military.
Yes.
Trevor, when you have been out either teaching or sailing on your own, is there an event, a weather event, that you experienced that was quite challenging, and how did you deal with that?
Well, yes. I was sailing actually on my own boat. It was a 40-foot ketch that I owned. My wife and I were sailing up the coast towards a local destination called Drake's Bay. The weather came up on us, and Drake's Bay is slightly north of San Francisco, so when we were returning, the weather was coming to us from the south, which meant we were aiming into the weather, and that was difficult enough. But it climbed far more rapidly than I anticipated. We found ourselves very, very quickly sailing in 45-knot wind, which is gale-force winds, and we were facing 30-foot seas. And at that point there, we were close to shore, because sailing up the coast you are, and the only way that you could really make yourself safe was to aim yourself out to sea. Run away, almost, is what it's saying, but you take yourself out to sea so that you're further away from the hard things to hit. Now, outside of San Francisco is a group of very barren, rugged islands called the Farallon Islands. They've been the cause of quite a few shipwrecks over the time, and our escape to sea was taking us to the Farallon Islands. Obviously, we didn't die. We managed to get around it, but it was a lot of hard sailing work that day. And when we finally got back into San Francisco Bay, it was an enormous relief. You're never entirely sure that something catastrophic won't happen to you. And so getting back is a great relief.
That's why I will never go sailing.
Oh, no, 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 that's not the way to look at it at all. One of the great joys of sailing is knowing that you can prepare. Sailing, anybody can sail a boat. We could teach you to sail a boat in a week with no difficulty at all. What we can't do in a week is teach you how to predict and prepare for when things go wrong. That's the difference between somebody who sails a boat and a sailor.
Well, let me ask you this, Captain. As you were hurtling towards the Farallons, how much, because at nature's mercy, how much of it was hard graft and experience and tactical nous, and how much of it was luck that got you to safety?
Well, without wanting to sound too conceited here, I don't think luck paid too much into it. Mm-hmm. When we headed out to sea, we knew the Farallons were there, and we knew where we needed to go so that the weather would not push us onto the Farallons if things went bad. Hopefully, we've prepared enough so that luck really doesn't become part of it. Mm-hmm. Interestingly, in sailing, there's never any good luck. There's only ever bad luck. And if you prepare before you go, hopefully you can forestall that bad luck.
Do you think some of those...
You never know. You're never entirely certain.
Mm-hmm.
So Trevor, were you going upwind at that time into those 30-foot waves? And when you go into waves like that, are you taking them at an angle or going head-on?
No, we're taking them at an angle. The waves were coming up from the south. And so you never... Really, you don't want to take the waves head on. It's not the best way to cross any waves. You're always better off taking waves at an angle. Excuse me. The boat survives it better. You survive it better. There's less stress on the boat if you do that. And typically, waves come from the direction of the wind. And it's the nature of sailing that you can't sail straight into the wind.
Did you put out a call to the Coast Guard when you were in a very risky state, or did you just ride it out like, I got this?
Oh, no, we just rode it out. Worst comes to worst, we would have continued to head further out into the ocean. Sailing, the boats survive far more than the crew survives typically. The boats will survive a lot of stuff. Crews are the ones that start to get worried. But the Coast Guard... Really, the Coast Guard is there for when things come beyond your own control. If you no longer have control over your situation, that's when you call the Coast Guard. And we felt we had control of the situation. We just didn't feel as though we were particularly comfortable.
And having been in maybe 15-foot swells and 35 knots out there by Drake's Bay, which is not the same conditions you have, but enough to experience a bit of weather and a bit of waves. I would say that no, it's not exactly comfortable. You have to be totally alert at every moment as to what you're doing. But that's not the normal, typical situation. I kind of threw you into that because it's always interesting to hear what other people have experienced. What's your greatest joy as in teaching? What really delights you the most?
You know, sailing is a unique activity. There are many sports out there, of course. What I used to tell my students when I first met them at the class at the meeting at the beginning of any class, was that sailing is unique among sports in one particular way. Sailing combines art, craft, and science. All three of those things go to making sailing an enjoyable sport. And if you can grasp all of those, it becomes such a satisfying occupation to do. Science, obviously, you need to understand the physics of what's happening, why your boat goes forward, so that you can make use of that knowledge. A great deal of craft, because there are simply skills that you need to learn, whether these are as simple as tying the suitable knot that goes forward, moving in a particular way that allows things to happen easily and quickly. The art side of it is because somewhere in amongst all of sailing, you get to a point where you simply feel how that boat moves. And if you can feel what the difference is between a boat that is working well but not ideally and something that just fits together. Combine all of those three things together, and sailing is a tremendously satisfying activity. It really is.
And I don't mean to cut you short, but we are out of time. It is Captain Trevor Steele. Hey, thank you so much. Great stories, and thanks for your insights.
Well, thank you very much for having me on.
Thank you, Trevor.
And Karen, I'll never go sailing. No, I'm just kidding.
we're gonna put you in a much more flat situation, so don't worry. I'll get you out there.
All right, SailSportTalk.com. Check it out. That's Karen Lyle. I'm Rick Tittle. We'll take a quick break. Come on back on Byline.